Audio point 6. Welcome to the summit of Moel Famau and to the Jubilee Tower, an infamous icon within the surrounding landscape. But it didn't always look like the ruins you see today. It was designed as a large Egyptian-style monument by Thomas Harrison, a famous architect who designed Chester Castle and many other public buildings. The central pillar stood at about 150 feet and cost £6,000 of public subscription to build. The foundation stone was laid in 1810 to commemorate the Golden Jubilee of George III, known as Mad King George. The Jubilee was celebrated at the peak by almost 3,000 people dressed in dinner suits and ball gowns. The Welsh Fusilier Brass Band played while visitors enjoyed drinks and food, including roast oxen for the upper classes and lamb for the poor of mould. Horse and cart were used to transport the men and materials up to build the monument. In 1817, another 30 feet in height were planned to be built. However, the tower was never fully completed. Plans for a staircase inside had to be withdrawn due to the lack of funds. In 1862, a tremendous storm blew down a large part of the tower. The ruins were built into the viewpoint you see today and then reopened by the Prince of Wales in November 1970. As you enjoy the view from the top of the tower, you can see for miles. The area has a special connection with Merseyside, with Liverpool's outdoor education centre, Colomendy, based just a couple of miles from where you stand now, opposite Loggerheads Country Park. Howard Sutcliffe, Clwydian Range AOMB officer, tells us about the area's special links with Merseyside.
The links between Moel Famau and the northwest of England are quite historic. When you're actually stood in Merseyside, the big hill you can see from Merseyside is Moel Famau, and it's quite distinct. So when there's snow on Moel Famau, the whole of Merseyside can actually see it. One of the streets in Merseyside is known as Moel Famau View, which is a recent build. So we've got a long history and links with Merseyside, primarily due to Crosville, who started running buses to Loggerheads. They actually, Crosville Motor Company, actually bought the country park and used it as a method to get people from Merseyside on their one day off, which was Sunday, out from Merseyside by putting their hands in their pockets and purchasing a ticket. And then when they got to Loggerheads, there would be all sorts of different things going on. There was tea gardens, there was a dancing hall, there was a bandstand and various other fairground attractions. We've also got the big Merseyside link with the Second World War, when people from Merseyside were evacuated to North Wales and a high percentage of them would have come to this area. And so the more modern links are links through either evacuees or through Colomendy, Colomendy being formerly Liverpool Outdoors Education Centre at Loggerheads. As children grow up, they're historic memories are that they would like to take their own children back to where they've visited and enjoyed the countryside. So it's generation taking a new generation to Loggerheads and Moel Famau as time goes on.
Bob Griffiths, a former Boy Scout from Merseyside, who later moved to the area, tells us about his visits to Moel Famau back in the 1950s.
I would just, on a Saturday morning, with either Ronnie Meacock or other lads, Brian Spence or what have you, Sonny McCarter, we would up and jump on a bus at Woodside. You'll know Woodside bus station at Birkenhead. We used to walk down there, jump a bus, and we'd either get off in Mould, we'd get off there and we'd walk either round the back of Maes Haven and round there, or we'd jump off at loggerheads. Yes, I can recall one of the days out from camping at Bacarig was to climb up and walk up Morvamai. In those days, the tower was in a rather a poor state with just a stubby base with loose stones on the top of the base. But the views were still as magnificent as they are today.
Bob now volunteers his time, helping with the management of Morvamai.
Well, the volunteering work, I got started about 6 or 7 years ago. There's just such a variety of tasks, and it's getting you out into the countryside. We're doing it for the Denbighshire Countryside Services. There's a fantastic team of volunteer friends. We get on really well. The countryside officers are great. The tasks are varied. The skills we've learned in dry stone walling, repairing footpaths, building stiles, fitting waymarkers and finger posts. I look upon it that I've taken a lot out over the years. And I just feel now it's time to give my free time to put something back in to the countryside.
Today, Morvamai is visited by 200,000 people every year, whether it be for a family day out, a lengthy hike along the hills, or gliding over the patchwork of the landscape. Tim Salter is a local paraglider who flies from Morvamai.
It's a good spot to fly from because it's very accessible from the road. It means you don't have to carry your equipment up very far. It's right in the middle of the Clwydian range, so if you want to fly along, you can fly to the south, or you can fly to the north, and it's just a beautiful place to be. It's great now the power cables have been moved, actually, because that was always a bit of a heart-in-the-mouth moment when you launched off the top and floated over the high-voltage power lines, but it's great to see the improvements of seeing those disappear. With Morvamai, we're a bit restricted on how far we can go, because of airspace and Liverpool Airport getting in the way. But people have flown to Staffordshire quite easily from Morvamai. It's great fun, I'd recommend it to anybody.
We have discovered the uses of the area through time, dating back thousands of years. Just imagine how many footsteps have trodden this path before you. From here, you can retrace your steps back to Bwlch Penbarras car park, or a walk down through Coed Morvamai will bring you to Loggerheads Country Park, where you can visit the Countryside Centre and enjoy a homemade snack at the cafe. Thank you for listening.